Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Bengals fans are amazing. They're resilient, they're tough, but they're fun. And I'm really excited to hopefully meet a lot more of you.
Isaac has the big game. Then we became a real balanced offense for the playoff run, which I thought was really important.
He put on the greatest route running exhibition I have ever seen in my life.
He was football 24/7, and that was the greatest part of Chad.
Early part, I would tell him when we were throwing deep passes, I said, don't wait too long, you know, because I'm going to get away. If you ain't going to have the arm to get there. So, you know, I want to run to the ball, you know.
Well, it looks like Duke's in a waiting room. I don't want to keep Duke waiting. He gave us a very limited amount of time. I know he's a busy, busy man. Duke, what's going on, big dog? How you doing, buddy?
Jim, how are you, man? Thanks for having me on. Yeah, hey. I'm real busy. I'm sitting on my porch.
Yeah, well, hey. Have a little drink going on there.
You know, Joe Burrow has played in big games his entire life, and I would think he will be a steady hand at the bow of the ship. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if they take him all the way to the Super Bowl. I really wouldn't. Yeah.
Welcome, everybody, to the, let's call it the playoff edition of Talking Football with Bengal Jim and Friends. We got a boatload of stuff to get through here tonight. Andrew Whitworth will be on with us at 8:10. So we're heading from 8:10 to 8:20. I need everybody to make sure, if you're watching on YouTube right now, make sure to hit subscribe, smash that subscribe button, subscribe on YouTube and get updates as the show goes on throughout the year. Quick rundown. We're going to talk about our charity update. You're not going to believe the number we're at with the charity, guys. You guys are amazing. Andrew Whitworth at 8:10. We're going to talk about the tailgate. You're not going to want to miss the discussion about the tailgate coming up. We're going to get right into the special Freezer Bowl edition discussion here we talked about. And we're going to talk about some of the things that happened at the game this past week, that win over the Raptors. So, guys, let's go ahead and get into this. We're going to take the first part of this show tonight, and we're going to talk about, before Andrew comes on, we're going to talk about on this date in football history, Tom. So very big time. I remember when I was little exactly where I was, to talk about what happened on this date in Cincinnati football history, Tom.
The Freezer Bowl, probably the biggest single event and championship won at Riverfront Stadium during its history, and one of the biggest days in history of the NFL. -9 was the air temperature, -59 with the wind chill. Coldest game in NFL history.
Got it. So we're going to play a short video clip, a couple-minute video clip. We're going to come on and talk about that day in Cincinnati football history.
The temperature in greater Cincinnati has dropped to 9 below, with winds out of the northwest gusting at 35 miles per hour. We're talking a wind-chilled 59 degrees below zero. And the Bengals are playing the San Diego Chargers for the AFC Championship today out by the river. And frankly, folks, you've got to be crazy, nuts, to be out there today.
On Cincinnati's coldest day ever, the game was a survival test that called for daring and desire. The only thing that warmed the Bengals was the anticipation of victory. Growing into a wind tunnel, Ken Anderson's passes sailed straight and true. The Chargers' passes simply sailed. And the Bengal defense frustrated San Diego as often as the wind and the chill.
Let's go, bingo!
ML Harris' touchdown followed a Jim Breach field goal. The game wasn't 8 minutes old, and the Bengals had a 10-point lead.
Come on, Jimmy! Back in!
Linebacker Reggie Williams forced the key turnover of the game, and it pointed the way to Pontiac. As the twilight deepened and the cold intensified, Anderson drilled the game-clinching touchdown to Don Bass. The Bengals had faced the elements without blinking. They were the champions of the AFC. The new look and atmosphere of a winner brought a familiar face back into focus. The face of a legend, the founder of the Cincinnati Bengals.
People get disappointed when you don't do well, and you just have to handle it. If you want a real lesson in that, take a look at the big crowd behind me around Kenny Anderson. Talk about a man that handled the things when they were very difficult for him, and I hand it to him. Proud moment.
So, guys, the very first AFC championship game here in Cincinnati. Bengals win it, go on to the Super Bowl. A couple years ago, we had the Super Bowl 16 Super Bowl team on the show, and they talked a good 10, 15 minutes about that game time. So give us a couple thoughts on this. Let's start sharing some stories on this, the Freezer Bowl.
First, before you start, Tom, was that you without your shirt on that they showed in the video?
That was not. I was up in the red seats with my dad, with him looking at me every few minutes saying, you know, are you cold? You cold? You cold? So, and I lied and would say, no, I'm good. But, no, right. You know, that, like we talked about the temperatures that day, I think the real story and overcoming the elements, a couple little stories that a lot of people don't know, the cables for NBC snapped because of the cold, and they were exposed. And Channel 12, the ABC at the time affiliate, kind of stepped in, and they didn't have to, but if it wasn't for them stepping in, nobody would have gotten to watch that game. The other thing was, you might notice the famous pictures of the Bengals linemen walking out with no sleeves, kind of like Jamie. I don't know if Jamie is in honor of that game. No, Jamie is not.
Oh.
Going short sleeves tonight, but
hey, listen, if we put you full screen, we might come back and Jamie might be sleepless, so
don't count on it.
He's looking clean enough, but anyway, but Forrest Gregg told the lineman before the game that he didn't want to give the Chargers were very known as a grabby team, you know, to grab their jerseys, Gary Big Hands Johnson, Louis Kelcher, and Forrest Gregg told his lineman that he was sorry. He knew it stunk, but they needed to look at it as going to the dentist. You know it's going to hurt, but you have to do it. And they did and played fantastic and pushed the Bengals right into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's funny, Todd. If you remember some of the stories from our Super Bowl episode we had a few years ago, I love the story that Chris Collinsworth, the night before, sent popsicles to the hotel room of Kellen Winslow. They were teammates, I think, at Florida. So sent some popsicles to him. And then I remember Lapham talking about how they put Vaseline on her arms, right? But it was so cold, the Vaseline wouldn't smooth out. It wouldn't, what do we say, you know, just you couldn't manipulate the Vaseline on the arms. It was so cold. So there was some, you know, the story about Forrest Gregg was great. Chris Collinsworth talking about describing how cold it was. And the funny story about Ken Anderson, when he was sitting on the heat, it was the first time they had heated benches. He put his feet in a heated bench, you know, inside the bench and sitting down with a jacket over him. And he heard a big roar of the crowd and went to get up to see what had happened. And his feet were stuck in the bottom of the heated thing, and he fell face first on the turf. And he said, if it was in today's NFL, it would have been video all over. He wouldn't have played because he would have been concussed. They had to do the smelling salt on him to kind of – getting back to normal. But so many great stories. The story about I think Eddie Edwards taking a hand warmers and putting them on his ears, and it started sticking to his ears and burnt. It smelled like burnt meat. He thought somebody was eating hot, smelled hot dogs in the stands. So just story after story after story, man. And I know, Tom, you were at that game. I was 10 years old. I remember mom and dad wouldn't let me out of the house. I remember looking outside at the snow and all my friends were outside running around after the Bengals won, but I wasn't allowed outside. So, but I did get to watch the game on TV that day.
You had good parents. Trust me, that was there was quite a very healthy debate at the Justin household that morning. But yeah, you know, the other interesting story that a lot of people don't in regards to the Chargers that day, and they were miserable. They had a terrible attitude going into the game. They didn't think we should play it, but their bus crashed under Maring Way underneath Riverfront Stadium on the way to the game. And that had to they had to walk a little bit on into the stadium. And as they're getting off the bus on the radio, the announcer is has somebody on from the Humane Society begging everyone to please, if you have a stray animal, you see an animal, you have an animal that's outside, bring it in. It will not survive outside in this. And they're going off to play football. And the last one in regards to the Chargers are when the second half was getting ready to begin, the refs had to go into the locker room and almost with a cattle prod force them out. The Bengals were outside warming up, stretching, getting ready to play, and the Chargers would not leave the locker room.
Crazy.
So, I mean, that episode, if you want to go back and rewatch and listen to Reggie Williams and Dave Lapham and Chris Collinsworth and Ken Anderson and Anthony Munoz and all these guys talk about the crazy things that weekend and that day, it's on our YouTube channel. Feel free to go back and watch. I think I posted that earlier today, man. That was absolutely just a classic episode, one of my favorites at the end of the day. James, where do you want to go next for kill a couple minutes before Wick comes on?
Your viral post on Fox News about the banner?
Let's go. Let's do it. So it didn't go locally. It went national, and we were just having some fun down there in Section 158. We had a big banner that James had printed against his advice. We still had it printed, and it was just kind of taking a jab at the commissioner with the coin flip, you know, changing the rules there at the last minute. There's this picture of the banner at the tailgates right there. And then at the game, literally security, we were holding it up most of the first half, and about halftime, security came over. It was like a SWAT team, security everywhere, man. Tony was my bodyguard. He was taking care of me. But security basically was saying, hey, I guess they get director from the NFL and they get director from the Bengals. So it was an NFL director. Security was very nice to us. They weren't being assholes. But security came, hey, we got to, you know, you've got to take that sign down, you know. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, the sign goes or you go. What do you want to do? You know, one of those things. And the on-field security guy looked at me. Said, if you just keep it down, don't put it up anymore. Get it out of the stadium when you leave. They let it go. So I posted something fun on social media thinking it wouldn't be that big of a deal. Sure enough, Channel 19 picked it up locally and Fox News picked it up nationally. So it wasn't the Bengals. It was directive from the NFL about no signs, poking fun at the commissioner, Tom, which is a little ridiculous.
Well, you weren't taking a jab at him. You were honking his nose. You know, the NFL has had a bad couple of weeks at Paycor Stadium. Judgment is not at 100%. Fairness is nowhere to be found. You know, if that's the worst we're going to do to Roger ought to count his blessings. What he tried to do to the Bengals franchise, the fan base, and Hamilton County as a whole, he ought to be embarrassed. And he is, but he got away with it. There wasn't that much media attention. Nobody stuck. The only person that stuck up, Katie Blackburn, was like Davy Crockett at the Alamo by herself with the rest, you know, 31 jackasses, 32 if you count Roger, in that room pressing a case for us. So thank you to Katie. The fix was in. I think before they even knew the proposal was coming, they knew they were going to get away with it. It's a shame. It's wrong. But the guys won, and now let's beat Baltimore again and really make the point.
So a lot of my
Sorry, I was going to say a lot of my friends up here, you know, after we won the Baltimore game, like, what's the big deal? Like, nothing happened. What's the big deal? Why do you care so much about it? And it was like, it's the what if. There was a potential there that we would be the only team in NFL history to win a division and potentially not have a home playoff game. Coming down to the, like, how ridiculous would the coin flip would have been? Like, would they've turned this into like a NBA special where LeBron James is figuring out what team he's going to go to? We call it the coin flip special, and it's just ridiculous. And I think Bengals fans had every right to be upset. And on social media, we know is a toxic dumpster fire most of the time anyway. But it's unbelievable to me how many people couldn't understand that you could still care about DeMar and care about what happened to him and his health and everything that's going on with him and still be pissed off with the decisions that the league made. The people couldn't figure out a way to separate it. If you voiced a concern about, hey, this doesn't seem right, why are they changing their own rules? People come at you going like, you don't care about the player. You don't care about the player. It's like, no, I care about the player, but the league's still doing its business. And when they came back to their business, they completely screwed over the Bengals. So I think everybody had a right to be upset. And thankfully, it didn't come down to a coin toss. And we got our game on Sunday.
I think we all gained a lot of respect for how Zach Taylor handled things, how the captains of both teams handle things. We touched on this at the tailgate on Sunday. And just how well the stadium handled things, the city of Cincinnati. I mean, first class. All the way, but then you read that ESPN article today, and it sounds like basically Zach and Coach McDermott took it out of the NFL's hands and said, this is what we're going to do. You know, there's a lot of the rumors out there of who called the 5-minute warning or warm up to go back out. Troy Vincent vehemently denied that, but somebody
Joe Buck standing his ground.
Yeah. So that article's pretty. Pretty interesting, but kudos to what Zach Taylor did, the captains and both organizations. And, you know, at the end of the day, 30,000 foot view, it's not what we wanted to happen. Again, we got the short end of the stick, but I think we all gained a lot more respect for Coach Taylor and how he handled what was a tough situation.
100%. Yeah, and James, talk a little bit about, you know, what we did at the tailgate. And, you know, I think a lot of different folks were doing different things to kind of remember, you know, what had happened to DeMar here. So we did a special little ceremony for him at the tailgate. If you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we did. And while you got that popped up, thank you to our buddy Dalton for allowing us to print that image. Tag Sandwich did all those signs last minute. And they also donated the decals that are in my hand that we handed out Sunday for donations. So what we did was just a quick little ceremony that, you know, obviously, as Jamie, you said, you know, DeMar was in our hearts and prayers, but really taking it to the next level, because by Sunday, you know, his health had progressed and was kind of out of the woods, if you want to use that word. So through Tony's hard work and finding a charity, the first responders, we took that Sunday to the next level and said, hey, you know, thank you to the men and women on the lines that, first of all, saved DeMar's life on the field, but everybody at UC Medical, everybody that does that on a daily basis, that, you know, personally, I think I said it Sunday, there's no way I could, you know, do that. These men and women see kids, adults, middle-aged teenagers, you know, die or almost die on a daily basis. The trauma that they go through is part of their life. So, timing was perfect. Again, thanks to Tony last week and then this week for the playoff game. I don't want to steal Tony's thunder, but we honored those. We had the representative from the charity present. You can see Elizabeth and Caroline with those decals there that we handed out. And we just took the next progression in it and said, hey, there's a lot of men and women in our community and across the globe that do this on a daily basis. And we just wanted to say thank you to them for what they do. I'm talking to our buddy Mon. I don't know if he's watching tonight, but Mon's a first responder down in Florida and talks about the suicide rate amongst that demographic, just because the wear and tear is so much on them, that the stuff they see on a daily basis is just a lot of stuff that we can't even fathom. So he was somebody that was thankful for what we were doing, thankful for helping out these first responders. And again, we'll look forward to doing that this weekend, and Tony will talk about that a little bit further. So thank you, everybody that donated. Great charity. And again, Tony will talk about all that a little bit.
Jimmy, before, while we're waiting for Whit to come on, can you go back to that photo of James at the bus for a second? I just noticed something really quickly.
Sure.
Can you talk about those gloves?
Yeah.
Those gloves are stylish. Is that like extra pockets? How's that? Is that like a teenager gloves they wear so you can text and do TikTok videos in the winter?
You flip the mitten over, then you got full coverage. But if you need to smoke your cigar or drink your beer, you got a better grip.
That's cool, man.
James, in fairness, we went over this Sunday at the tailgate that it was spreading on social media, your gloves, like wildfire. It is a fashion phenomenon.
Yeah.
Tony, did we need gloves Sunday at all at the tailgate and in this game?
Us real men didn't wear any gloves.
I was kind of like Michael Jackson. I only had one on. That counts, right? I had the other one open. I think I sat on the donation table all afternoon. Got beer and stuff spilled on. Tom, anyway,
Tom showed up at the tailgate with mittens, a little hat with a little ball on top, earmuffs, and a scarf, walking around. But he was cold. Boy, look.
Was that me?
No, I was just playing. No.
Looked like
with Ralphie's a brown bag brother. Lunch.
Ralphie's little brother from a Christmas. Actually, no. James took care of me with about 50,000 chicken wings.
Yeah.
While I was
there. Yeah. James,
can I talk? Yeah. Okay. This I was so heartbroken to miss this game because, as you guys know, when I go to Cincinnati, Knockback Nats is the first place I stop. I drive 8 hours. I don't even check into the hotel. I go right to Knockbacks, get my wings, and then it's back to the hotel. They were there, right, at the tailgate?
That was the game before.
That was the game before?
Yeah.
I'm a week behind. Oh, well, that was the Buffalo game.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And those chicken wings, I think, lasted 2.5 minutes.
Oh, like, no doubt.
They were gone.
1,500 wings gone. Gone.
Oh, yeah.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hey, so let's, as we wait for Whit, I'm waiting for him to respond to me right now. As we continue to wait for Whit to come on, let's talk a little bit about what's going on food-wise at the tailgate this week. We got to talk about, this is crazy, man. We just let you know, Buffalo Wild Wings location out of Norwood. As we wait for Whit, I'm waiting for him to respond to me right now. As we continue to wait for Whit to come on, let's talk a little bit about what's going on food-wise at the tailgate this week. We got to talk about, this is crazy, man. We just let you know, Buffalo Wild Wings location out of Norwood, the Norwood location specifically, is bringing down 3,000 wings. Cannon, you're going to be down there eat some wings? Come on, buddy. But BW3s is bringing out 3,000 wings. It's the Norwood location. Unbelievable. And as always, you know, we got Camp Washington bringing about 300 conies down. And our close friends at Gold Star bringing 500 down. And I got to talk about somebody new this week. We have a new food sponsor this week, Sweets and Meats Barbecue. They're bringing a boatload of food down for you guys. On top of the 800-plus conies, on top of the 3,000 wings, we're going to have a ton of pulled pork. Here's the menu they made for us. They're going to have macaroni and cheese, their vinegar-based coleslaw, vegetarian baked beans, pulled pork sandwiches, and pulled chicken sandwiches. So we're very excited to have Sweet Meats bring a boatload of food down for everybody. So if the focus always is locally owned, or even if it's a franchise, a local franchise owner here in the Cincinnati tri-state area, Northern Kentucky tri-state area, kind of featuring them and helping them out as much as we can. So anybody you see that's been a food sponsor at the tailgate this year, if you were able to stop by and grab a drink or something, eat at any of these places. They greatly appreciate it. These are family-run businesses that look for your support, man. I love it. But
now, I don't want to jump the gun, but Jimmy, I don't know if you remember us talking about this or not when I was down last, but the plan for next year for the home opener is for my gourmet poutine and mac and cheese to come down and feed the tailgate.
Oh boy.
So I've already told my kids that work for me that we're going to Cincinnati. So they're super pumped. So not local, but I want to bring it on the road.
Tom, does he know all these people are staying at your house? Did you inform the wife of that yet?
Yeah.
I haven't mentioned anything to the wife. What's got me more concerned is the poutine. How's he going to get that through customs?
Nah, we'll bring all the ingredients down. It's all good.
All right.
Still waiting on Whit. He's responding to me. Looks like he's still coming in, but we got a boatload of other stuff to talk about. Tony, you want to go ahead? Let's go ahead and hit on the charity update. Kind of let's give everybody, filling everybody what's going on, because this has just been a record-breaking year for us.
Huge.
Yeah, it's been a great year. New Day Nation, which is the most giving fan base that I've ever seen here in Cincinnati. So we are sitting right now at $113,000 for this year, which is well beyond our goal of $75,000 that we set earlier. So it's all to you guys. Thanks to our corporate sponsors, our fans, and everybody who's made that possible for us. With that money, we have served 24 different charities as well, so both locally and nationally. So it's something to be proud of. So I'm blessed to be a part of this group and be a part of this fan base that's been able to do that. So it's awesome.
Am I reading that right? 113,000?
Yep.
Yeah, that's like 13,000.
So,
it's like a quarter of a million in Canadian, Jamie.
That's, quarter of a million, yeah, man. That's crazy.
By the way, you see,
good job,
Jamie.
Guys.
Hold on, Tony. Jamie so rudely interrupted you by pouring. What are you drinking, Jamie? You didn't
try. Sorry. This is a bottle of J-Lore, Cab Sauv from, I think, California.
It's not as good as Bold Stripes, but sorry.
Probably not.
I just was worried about what he was drinking. Continue on.
I just want to. Can you hold that bottle up again?
Sure.
You cracked that bottle open at the beginning of the show, didn't it?
I did, yeah. I'm not going to lie. Well, hold on. In all fairness, I got some in the glass, still.
Stressful day for Jamie up in there, Canada, I guess.
Every Tuesday, brother. Every Tuesday.
I think the Bengals made an announcement today that T.J. Hushmanzada is going to be the rule of the jungle. Bootsy Collins is performing at halftime with the Ohio Players. If you're too young, you don't know who Bootsy is, you don't know who the Ohio Player is, Google it, look them up. Absolutely legends, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They're going to be classic. And I'm going to tell you, it's probably a very good idea for everybody to be at the tailgate this week. There's so much stuff going on. Who knows who's going to show up this week? Because every week we have this 30th anniversary for the tailgate has been – epic every single week.
Do we have an announcement yet from the Bengals if there's going to be a light and fireworks show before the game?
Being a fireworks show?
Well, the fireworks and the light show, like we did a couple weeks ago against Buffalo.
I think they tweeted a tease about that. Obviously, they did something before the Monday night game, and I wouldn't be surprised, Tom. By the way, Tom
they got the guy from they got the guy from Stranger Things doing the national anthem, man. What more do you want them to do?
Tom, is it true
Stranger
you
things.
Used to listen to Bootsy Collins?
Jack Lambert singing the national anthem?
EA Sports, Tom. EA Sports.
Tony, help me. Okay. All right. Go ahead, guys.
No, what I was saying is it true that you used to listen to Bootsy Collins on 8-track tapes?
8-track tapes would have been before me. That would have been with my dad. My dad did have an 8-track back in the 70s. I don't recall Bootsy ever being on his radio. But
okay. A listener wanted to know.
I believe Bootsy came to fame as one of the lead guitarists for James Brown's band. So I guess technically I probably heard Bootsy back in the day.
If you know the P-Funk and Parliament, love it. Love it all. Let's talk about uniform combination this week, guys. The Bengals made that announcement today. Looks like they're going black jersey, white pants. So I'm good with that combo, man. I like it.
I think there was a lot of talk. A lot of people wanted to see those alternate jerseys. Yeah, I don't know. You hear different things. Maybe they've maxed out on that. But there, black and white, that's what we're going to be wearing on. Yeah,
the official explanation there is you can use alternate jerseys three times a year. They use their white ones twice, the orange one once. And heck, this is the NFL. Those are the stated rules. No way you're going to get that changed. So, yeah, we have to go with our traditional black jerseys. They do not stray from the rules.
I do have it from an inside source, not within the organization. His name is Luke, Loco Luke. There is going to be a light show done again this week. So just stay tuned for more information online about that. Let me hit one more thing, guys.
Is that Chef Luke you're referring to?
It is Chef Luke. Yep. Years of culinary school is really paid off for him down at the tailgate now. As he cooks heats up the chili and the hot dogs. He's killing it. Him and Jungle Joe are killing it. Yeah. So real quick, posted this probably an hour or two before the episode started tonight. If you go to any of our social media platforms, the tailgate platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Gold Star is giving away two tickets to the playoff game here Sunday night, and we will announce a winner of those two tickets at 6 o'clock Friday evening. So stay tuned. You got to get on there. Make sure you're following Gold Star and us, and make sure you retweet or share what your favorite menu item is at Gold Star, and that automatically enters you for two tickets to this playoff game. And if you saw the ticket prices this week, it's the most expensive ticket in the NFL for the playoffs this weekend. Just like it was last year, every Bengals game was the most expensive ticket in the NFL playoffs last year. It's happening again. So where did James go? Did he disappear?
I have no idea. I just looked up and saw that he wasn't here.
I think he put Cannon to bed. He'll be right back.
So what's going back to the jersey combination for a second, when did they make the call that you couldn't do the color rush in the playoffs? Was that when they first announced the color rush?
No, that was what that was. There is a rule in all seriousness in the NFL. You get three alternate jersey games a year. We've used two of our white ones, and we used an orange one. So we used them all up. And like we found out with the NFL, the rules are the rules.
Yeah.
You can't alter. You can't defer. You can't change. You can't take the exit. You got to stay on the straight and narrow.
Especially right before the playoffs. You never change the rules for the playoffs.
It's either that or you got to honk Roger's nose. So, and then Jimmy gets in trouble.
Big Wits in the waiting room right now. And I know everybody in Cincinnati, every Bengals fan across the country and internationally has been so excited about Big Wit, one of the all-time favorite Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati football history. Guys in the waiting room right now, guys, I am wore out with you guys asking a question about if Big Wit's coming back to Cincinnati. Well, we're about to find out what's going on right here, right now. Big Wit, welcome, Big Dog. Hey, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on? How we doing?
Oh, we got him.
Yeah, we got him.
Yep.
We got him, Jimmy.
Am I on? You good?
Nope.
Take
you good. How you doing? We hear you just fine.
We'll kick Jimmy off the screen. So, he's only names on the show. We'll kick off Big Wit. Welcome. Hopefully you're doing good out in California. We saw the videos of all the flooding that's going on. You and the family safe?
We're good, man. It's a lot of water. They're not used to that out here, that's for sure. I got a little experience with it in Louisiana, though. We're used to this, so we're all right.
All right. Let's talk about it. The biggest question right now, is there any way in hell you come back to Cincinnati and for the playoff run here and get yourself another Super Bowl ring?
I don't see that. I don't foresee it happening, man. Look, I would love to. There's nothing more in the world that I'd love to do than suit it up again, that's for sure. But, I halfway thought about it about a week ago, and I went to get out of a chair, and I had to get my kids to help me. And I figured at that point, it pretty much summed up my chances of getting in a stance and blocking anybody in the AFC in the coming week. So I'm gonna root from home. I am a Bengals guy all the way. I've been saying all year, I think it's going to be Niners, Bengals in the Super Bowl. And I hope they do it.
Yeah, that's great. So we're going to have a lot. Everybody that's watching right now, we've got to wait for about 20 minutes. Any questions, type them in. James is going to kind of try to get to a few of those. A couple things we want to get to. Man, I know you probably haven't seen the show before, man. We've had some really big names on. And we scour the internet, scour social media, trying to find videos you don't remember and things like that. I spent 7 hours today putting a clip together of all your touchdowns in the NFL. So let's play this video right now for everybody.
Let's go.
That was it. The only one.
A lot of fun things in that video. That was the opening drive of the game. That was also Ryan Clark, my LSU buddy and guy I looked up to. He was a senior when I was a freshman that's supposed to be over there covering me, so I don't ever let him live that down. And the other part of that is that was actually my birthday, and my twins, who are now 11, were expecting my wife was expecting with them at that time, so she was at home and said she almost lost the kids because I did not tell her that I was actually supposed to go out on a pass that week. And so she about passed out when it happened, that's for sure.
Well, the other thing, too, I'm glad you hit all that, man. Okay, not going to say the city. We call them the city near West Virginia, Whit. We never say the P word or the S word. It's the city near West Virginia is what we call them. But it was the only offensive touchdown on both sides of the ball that day. Yep. You were the only one who scored an offensive touchdown that day.
I need to find out if that's a record. I've been wanting to know this for years, that an O-lineman – is the only offensive touchdown in a football game. I want to know, like, you know, that's a pretty rare feat.
Tom, that's got to be the only time it's ever freaking happened. I mean, I hope so.
It's the only time that I can ever remember happening for a Bengal. I know, you know, Anthony scored a couple of the touchdowns on a tackle eligible, but it's the only time.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you know, guys have scored, but to be the only score in the game, that'd be an interesting one. We'll see.
Yeah. So let's go through, just ask a few questions here. We'll get to our viewer questions. We'll let you go, Whit. But, Tom, fire away. I know we have some great things for you, Whit. Go ahead, Tom.
Good.
Whit, I'm going to abuse you, now that you're national media, unbiased and so forth, but help us out here in Cincinnati. The line, from a physical standpoint, has been great all week. All year. We had the first month or so, a lot of getting used to each other, but they've been healthy. Every week, all five of them, 100% of the snaps. This week we lose Alex Kappa. A couple weeks ago, another LSU alum, Lyle Collins, we lose him. What does Joe Burrow – I mean, is Joe Burrow checking the right side a little bit more before every snap? What does he need and what do they need to do as a line to get some cohesiveness to get ready for that Ravens front six?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. When you're talking about an offensive line, that all five guys working together is a huge thing. And so, you know, the one good thing that you do like, you know, about the situation is obviously it's not ideal. It's not what you want. But you can look at it two ways. And that is really for a defense, I've always said this, like the right tackle and the right guard have a lot to do with the quarterback's vision, because a lot of times most quarterbacks, how they set up in the pocket, they see those rushes more so than they do the left side. And that's why it's always been considered their blind side on the left side, because it's a lot harder for them to see it. And sometimes they see it, but they see it a little later than the right side even. And so, you know, it's at least to the side that he can maneuver and move out of the pocket if he feels pressure, or maybe adjust where he is in the pocket. So that's an advantage, but it's going to be a challenge. I mean, it's a factor. And I've said this before, that is the only thing. Like, I am pretty really confident in the Cincinnati Bengals, the guys there, and in the talent and the ability to win, from Zach Taylor to all the way down. And that is a question mark, though, because it's going to be something that matters. It can either affect him, or maybe it's a good thing that it happened right there in one location to where they can set protections, they can set how they slide. But you know, teams are going to be going after that side of the line, and they're going to have an answer for how to deal with it.
Right. Tom, I think you had another one, bud.
Yeah, Whit, you know, you are coming back to Cincinnati at some point. Your name's going to be up on that ring of honor, and you're coming back to Ohio. I believe your bus is going to be in Canton one day. But one of the things we do here is we focused on Bengal players that belong in the Hall of Fame. We believe that guy whose jersey is hanging just over my shoulder, Ken Riley, we're really confident gets to go in this year. Ken Anderson, it's criminal. He's not there.
Yep.
But the other guy that really bothers us is a former teammate of yours, kind of a mentor of yours. We know he means a lot to you. Willie Anderson belonged in Canton a long, long time ago. what can we do to convince the, and I'll be gentle, the gentleman that vote to put him in where he belongs? The best right tackle, maybe the best lineman of his era. Why can't we get attention given to Willie?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate. You know, I've talked to some media members, you know, here recently about it. It's really unfortunate how good his career is, how dominant he was. And this isn't really a discredit to Joe, but I think it's interesting that Joe Thomas, who was a great football player and deserves to go to the Hall of Fame, he was an unbelievable talent. The narrative to me that's just crazy is that he's a guy that should just walk in and the door should be open his first year. And Willie Anderson, who, tell me what their careers were different. Like, Joe didn't go to the playoffs but one time in his career, I believe. You know, didn't have much success in Cleveland at all and win many games. Willie, the same situation, didn't have many playoff appearances. I think only one or maybe two. And literally, like, to think, like, the discrepancy, it's not that I'm saying one's better than the other or whatever, but the discrepancy of one of them's just a surefire walk in there and the other one's not is wild to me, because Willie, you know, in pass protection, you could say Joe Thomas is an unbelievable just purist when it came to taking a pass set. But Willie was not only great against some of the all-time greats in NFL history and gave up very few sacks, but he dominated people in the run game and was a guy who just mauled folks. And so I think it's unfortunate for him. He played with some in an era with really good left tackles when right tackles weren't hardly ever talked about. And he did not get really the coverage he should have as a player. And so it's one of the things I hate the most about when we only use Pro Bowls and all pros to dictate a lineman's success. Like, turn tape on and evaluate how they played each and every week. And Willie Anderson's one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, we're with you. We're with you. Yeah, that's a great answer. We talk to Willie pretty consistently. We love the guy. We're going to keep fighting for him. But, Tony, I know you had something about his foundation, right?
Yeah, Big Lid, us as a group and our fan base, we concentrate a lot on charity work. Talk a little bit about your Big Wit 77 and what you guys have been able to do.
Yeah, you know, we started off probably early in my career doing a lot with our foundation. And you know, now we do a little less with, like, our true foundation and more about how we can impact communities. And so I think for me, really, it's been one of those things that, you know, when we only lived in Louisiana early in my career, we did a lot of stuff with our foundation in the off seasons. And then in Cincinnati, I would just try to join every charity I could and be a part of different things, whether it be Boys and Girls Clubs and Make-A-Wish and you name it, all the different hospitals and things you could be a part of. And then now in California, it's kind of the same thing. We're doing a lot of that. And so for me, really, when it comes to food insecurity, homeless insecurities, when it comes to schools and classrooms and creating opportunities for kids to chase their dreams, we continue to be heavily invested in that. And it's something we're always chasing, that passion. And we actually have coming up this week. I helped with my Walter Payton Man of the Year award. You get money that they'll put up to help you start something or do a charity work or donate. And so I used the money and got with some other groups, and we're building a field at the Challengers Boys and Girls Club here in Inglewood in LA. And so it's going to be an old beat up field that they needed to be refurbished, and we're going to build them a brand new facility, and we're showing it off on Thursday. And I can't wait for that event and just a chance to do something really cool for a community and show a little love.
I love it, man. Yeah. So Wade, I tell you what, man, everybody got to see your Walter Payton Man of the Year speech. I was in studio at SoFi when you were giving that speech, man, and everybody got goosebumps. Brother, just tell us what it means to get that award. That's just one of the most special awards an NFL player can get.
It's very humbling. I mean, I was nominated a lot of times, and I'll never forget, honestly, just the honor to represent, you know, those 32 teams and each guy that came from each one of them. I mean, it's really cool and special, this league, the opportunities that a lot of guys have. But when you really look across the men that play this game and the impact they have on their communities, not just on the kids that are growing up, but on, you know, adults and making things better for people where they come from and even in the cities they play in, it's just so humbling to be a part of that. And to be a part of something bigger than yourself, to me, will be the greatest opportunity you ever have in your life. And so being a part of that group and getting a chance to represent, in my opinion, you know, I won the award, but to me, I represent the other 31 guys and all the work that we did. And so I'm just honored to be in that group and now part of all the guys who have won Walter Payton Man of the Year. And I can't wait to see the things that guys keep doing that are make them so special that play in this league.
That's awesome. James, I know you had one too, bud.
Yeah, I'm going to pop this image up here, Big Wit. Thank you for joining us back from your college days. Obviously, we know the pipeline from LSU to North has gotten strong here, even in the last 5 years. There we see you wearing number 76. You had a well-known guy coach you down there in Baton Rouge by the name of Nick Saban. Can you elaborate on him spearheading you during your college days?
I mean, he's been one of the greatest influences in my career. I mean, I had a high school strength coach that I thought was a huge impact on my career. And then Nick Saban, you know, probably from a philosophical and just a daily chasing of greatness and the process and everything else, made one of the biggest impacts on me. I mean, there were days that I, you know, wanted to pull his toupee off his head or whatever he did with his hairline there, but you know, it's, you know, he would drive you crazy, but he would challenge you every single day. You know, I just think that, you know, he taught me a lot about the game and how it's played and what you do. And, you know, it's wild to go back and even look at that staff. I mean, Kirby Smart was also on that staff. I mean, to look at his success and Will Muschamp and Jimbo Fisher and Derek Dooley. I mean, the list goes on, and that staff was insane. And so, there's a lot of special guys on there, and I think that a lot of people from a lot of different from playing the game, coaching the game, and everything else, you know, there was a number of names that have impacted the game of football, college and NFL from there.
Talking about now the regular season, I got one more. The regular season is over. We're getting ready to start playoff football. We know how intense the NFL is. How much does that intensity ramp up now that the playoffs have started?
You know, I think it's interesting. There's definitely an intensity ramp, and you know, people make a lot about who's played in the playoffs and who hasn't and who has home field. And, you know, I think the real thing comes down to, you know, what team has the ability to ignore all the noise, regardless if you're the home team or away, in the sense of not the actual noise, but, you know, not literally noise, but the ability to ignore the bigness of the game, to ignore whether there's going to be a big fan crowd, you know, interaction during the game, whether there's going to be moments in the game of adversity and moments where you don't think you're going to win. Just ignore all of that and play your best possible football for 60 minutes with everything you got, with no hesitation, relentless, never second-guessing yourself, just play. And I think the teams that figure out a way to do that and just have a singular focus to be the best team, not the best team of the season, not the best team with the best record, not the team with home field advantage or division championships, the best team in that three-hour window. That's all they have to do. And I think when you can just have a singular focus to do that, that's the teams you see play their best.
Jamie, I think you had one.
Yeah, well, thanks for your time. You know, last year's Super Bowl, Bengals losing, heartbreak for the Bengals fans. I know watching you on the field with your kids after, and I think a lot of Bengals fans, we couldn't win it, but happy to see you win it. And I wondered, watching you on TV with your kids in the field, and I hope I asked this the right way. I don't want to misword it, but is there almost like a, I want to say sadness, but like you feel about the Bengals? Like, you know what a Bengals win would do for this franchise, for the city, for the fan base. Is there an emotion there for that, or is it just euphoria from you winning it, and then it kind of, you think about it after? Just, I'm curious.
No, I think that whole 2 weeks was really a lot of that. I mean, it was an emotional 2 weeks for Melissa and I, because the city meant so much to us, the organization. I always told people, you know, I felt like I was going to be not happy, but I would be content either way. And because I felt like I had a lot to do with who Cincinnati is. And even though I wasn't on that team recently, and then I felt like I had so much pride of really our time in Cincinnati, how special that was to our family and all four of our kids, you know, we had while we were there and were born. And so, you know, it's a special place to us. It's where I created our family, and you know, our family will always consider Cincinnati one of our homes. And so it was an emotional week. And I think that's one of the reasons that right after we won the game and you had that chance to sit for a second and watch the confetti fall, it was like, man, I just want to sit down with the kids and just spend a moment being thankful, because I was so thankful for my time in Cincinnati and for the Rams. And I think I told Troy Blackburn and Katie and Mike that story when I came in the preseason. And I told him, man, I felt like I would, you know, I felt like I would be emotional about it one way or another. And I'm pretty sure he replied, you know, hey, look, we would have invited you back up there on the stage, you know, in a joking manner. Basically saying like, hey, we weren't going to be that emotional about you if we won. But I was trying to convey exactly what you're saying. It just didn't come out as good as I wanted it to. And he had a great reply. So it was we had a funny moment about that. But you know, I think that's the thing. It's special, such a special place and special time there. And, I'll always be, you know, part of Cincinnati Bengal for sure.
We're happy you got one. We're happy you got one.
I appreciate it.
Although it was difficult for me with being there, I wanted to get the hell out of that damn stadium after that game. So.
I bet. Well, hey, look at the positive side. At least you weren't the TCU fans leaving soaking wet last week. Those people are so bad for them.
That was ugly. Jamie, let's go to some viewer questions. We got a couple more minutes. Is that okay?
Yeah. You're good, man.
Okay.
All right. One of our regular viewers watching us from day one, Greg Witt, who's your favorite teammate for your time in Cincinnati?
Oh, tough game.
Oh, man. You're trying to make
don't
me
worry. We won't tweet at them. We're all good. We won't tell anybody.
No, I had a lot of great ones. I mean, obviously me and Eric Winston and Clint Bowling formed a really special relationship in our time together. Clint was a guy that, you know, Eric I'd known most of my career, and in college we got a chance to be around each other at some award stuff and just always were friends. And then it was cool to get a chance to be teammates into my career. Clint, you know, from him getting drafted to really the start of our run there, you know, in 2011, you know, with Andy and AJ and all those guys, I had some really special relationships there. And then when I got there in Cincinnati, Ethan Kilmer and John Beeson and some of those guys, I mean, were my rookie brothers that we all came in together. And, you know, I just think that, you know, throughout my career and time there, there's so many special relationships. You know, I mean, I can remember, you know, AJ Green and Gio Bernard and those guys as they were babies, like just growing up in the league and how much I got a chance to kind of be there for them and be a big brother. And I think there's just a lot of bonds I'll never forget. I think it's hard to peg one guy because I really do believe I gained a ton of brothers in that time from 06 all the way through 16. So there's a lot of special relationships that'll always be part of my life all throughout that locker room and team. And it's even hard to just name them because they're all so special. I mean, Adam Jones, Carlos and Gino and those guys, and you know, early in my career, Frosty and Domitod, and just a lot of guys you competed with, you went to war with, and then obviously the impact of Willie Anderson and Levi Jones and Richie Bram and you know, Steinbach and all those guys. I mean, you know, and my big brother Carson Palmer, man. I mean, I told people just the other day, Carson Palmer's where I learned leadership, you know, and I learned how to be a leader of people. And he was so great in the locker room and so good with guys. So there's just so many of those relationships that I'll never forget.
A lot of the old school guys that bring on the Bengals legends, we always hear that there's a group text chat between these guys. Is there a Bengals OG group chat going on your phone?
I'll be honest with you. When I won the Super Bowl, I think I'm off the OG chat. But, no, I still talk to Willie and Levi and some of the guys, you know, especially the guys up front. And then TJ and Chad and some of us always keep up. And, you know, even T.O. from his 1 year. I mean, there's just different guys you keep up throughout your career. You know, there's always those things. Because those bonds, man, they're real. And that's what you when you're in your career and people always ask what you want people to remember you by. And I think it's so funny when people talk about the field, because to me, I would hope you'd want your teammates to remember you as just a real dude and somebody that it wasn't just talk. It wasn't rah, rah. You are a real teammate. You were a real G, and you went to war with guys and you loved guys. You were there for them in the times of goodness and the time when things weren't as good. And so, I think to me, those relationships will always be important, and that connection will always stay there.
Cool. Yeah. I got two more viewer questions for you, if you're cool with that. Okay.
Oh, you're great.
Going back, put your analyst hat back on for a second here. You've had some great battles with Trey Hendrickson. What makes this guy so good?
Man, he's a special player. I can remember even in New Orleans when he was first starting off, and we'd play him some in the playoffs and then had some big battles with him in the regular season. Always thought, man, he just had a really good knack for his motor and his ability to just kind of feel how to rush. I mean, I say this all the time about rushers. It's no different than receivers who know how to separate, you know, basketball players who know how to create separation with a basketball. You know, rushers usually have it or they don't. And to him, he has a natural ability you know, much like a wrestler or a fighter, to just feel, you know, where there's air places or creases and openings for him to slip in and use his leverage and his power and his energy. And he's always creating, you know, like an artist. And so he's always finding new ways to win. And I thought when I studied him, you know, in New Orleans, I'll be honest, I didn't think of him as like, man, okay, this guy's tough. It's just more of a guy you thought, man, the motor and how tough and strong he was. You had to be ready for him. In Cincinnati, I thought he's added so many elements to his game. He's got inside rushes, pull rushes, abilities to go around you with his cross chops and different things. And so you can really tell he's setting you up all throughout the day, you know. And I think that to me, that's what makes him really special is you can tell he really – it's a passion of his to rush the quarterback, and he's got a great feel for it. And so to me, that's what makes him so rare, and his motor is really what separates him, is that not only can he do all those things, but he can do it over and over and over again with an elite effort level. And not a shocker, a lot of really good football players are able to do that.
Cool. Yeah. I'll do one more. We appreciate your time, obviously. Other than Jeff Ruby's, what do you miss most about Cincinnati?
I think just the people. When I got a chance to come back this preseason, and then when we did the Dolphins-Bengals game, you know, I'll never forget just walking around and whether it be going to different restaurants that I love there or going to different places that are, you know, like we loved and had great times, you know, with our kids and our family and going on date nights and hanging out with teammates. Just the true passion for the game of football, man. It's interesting. You go some places and it's more about the star you are or, you know, the fandom of like somebody being, you know, special and, you know, wanting a picture or whatever. But I always felt like when I was in Cincinnati, it was more of a respect and just a, man, we love football and we appreciate you. And you walked in a restaurant and people would just nod at you, wave at you, you know, you hug them, you give them a handshake, whatever it is. And they'd let you be because they just, you know, they wanted you to be a part of the community and a part of them, not necessarily just gawk at you, you know. You know, I think that always made you feel so welcomed and warmed when you're there because you felt like you were a part of the city. You weren't just a superstar to them that played there. You were invested in the city and they're invested in you.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, let's go ahead. We'll close it out here, Whit. So just one closing thing from us, man. Just talk about your feelings if you're able to – the Bengals versus the Ratbirds, the Ravens this week, man. Talk about your thoughts and how do you think we come out ahead. What has to happen for us to win this game?
Well, I think obviously it's going to be a big factor to see how, you know, you adjust in the offensive line and are able to kind of adjust things. I think running the football one is going to be important out of the gun, getting some gun runs and getting guys not in so many situations where you're going to have two guys playing beside each other that don't have a chance to get a lot of chemistry and they don't have a lot of time. So they're going to need positive downs and distances and then they're going to have moments where they're just going to have to step up. And that's what the game of football is. I mean, the reality is in the game of football, man, it's who steps up in the big moments. And so I think when you look at Joe Burrow and you look at the special guys you have on that roster, I just have a lot of faith and belief that you got a lot of people that are wired the right way and are going to be they're going to be at their best in the biggest moments. And I think that's going to be key. And obviously, if Lamar's back or not defensively, you know, being able to have an answer for him and how healthy is he? You know, that'll be a question, you know, to really what they'll be able to do. And I like the fact that I really think that in these situations, I mean, unfortunately, we were on the other end in 2009 of playing the Jets back to back. And I remember thinking like there's no way they'd beat us in back to back games. Sure enough, they did. And so I just think when you have somebody's number, man, it's in their head and they know it. And so I think that for the Ravens, man, I think the Bengals have a chance to take them down and keep moving on and chasing, you know, what they're after.
And I'll tell you, with my oldest son is 31, lives out in Portland now. He flies in for some of the games here and there. He was an intern at the stadium and worked some of the suites during game days. And he was responsible for your family suite, making sure they had what they needed, the whole nine yards. And every time he would come home with and just talk about Melissa, your family that was there and how nice they were to him, how respectful. And that means a lot, man, to me as a father and my son talking about that. So I want to say thank you for that. This city loves you, Whit, and I just can't put my finger on it, man. You're not the guy scoring all those touchdowns. You're not the guy throwing all those touchdowns. But this city loves players like you, brother. And as great as a football player you were, and going to be in the Hall of Fame in the Bengals Ring of Honor, even a better human being, and brother. And I think that's why this city is just head over heels for you and loves you, and they cannot wait for you to come back in town when you get inducted to that Ring of Honor, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate that so much, man. I love that city too, and I appreciate all you guys and the energy you build around the team, man. Let's go.
Yeah, we appreciate you. Hey, wait a minute. Your birthday's in a couple days, right?
No. It was
December.
Yeah, 12th.
December. Oh, December 12th. Okay, my bad.
Yeah. You forgot the touchdown catch.
When he scored his touchdown,
I think it was like the oldest player to ever get a Super Bowl ring, offensive line. I didn't know if he was a Medicare yet or not, man. You're getting so damn old.
I'm close, trust me.
Thanks for your time, Andrew. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ed. See you, buddy.
Guys, Andrew freaking Whitworth on our show. How cool is that? That was awesome.
I would have never asked him if he was on Medicare face to face. I could do that here.
Dude, I was trying my question about the you know, was there any feelings about the Bengals? Like, I was trying to figure out a way to ask that without sounding like, you know, like, hey, you screwed us up in the Super Bowl. Like, obviously I wasn't meaning it that way, but
you did.
I'm glad the words came out.
He didn't screw us out of the Super Bowl. That ref that called the phantom pass interference call screwed us out of the Super Bowl.
By the way, I don't know, Jimmy, I don't know if you saw my notes, but I have a new video tonight for the 2-minute warning. When you're ready to do it, you just tell me to do it.
It's 2-minute warning. Let's go.
All right, you ready? Here we go. This one's it's just uploading right now. I'm just dedicating this one to my boy Tom down there. You ready?
EA Sports. It's in the game.
There we go.
In the game.
Gosh.
Go back a few episodes, guys. A few episodes, 50, you'll get the joke.
50 episodes later. Oh, well, I'll start off because Mon just sent a message there. Congratulations, Mon, on the fantasy football championship. Our boy Jared Wolf was second. I think Jamie, were you dead last? We had that text going this morning. Was it?
No, I was second last. And Tony, I will say, if Tony was dead last, I'm not going to lie to you guys, and this might get me kicked out of the league next year. I haven't set my lineup for the last 6 weeks, maybe 7 weeks. So the fact that I even finished second last is shocking to me. And I really hope Tony didn't set his lineup for the same amount of time.
Well, no, like he didn't. In the text string, I found a pattern. So when I was actually paying attention and changing my lineup, the Bengals were losing. But as soon as I didn't pay attention, guess what? They were winning. So I decided I took one from the team, and I was just going to not play fantasy and let our Bengals keep on winning. That's exactly what happened. So
smart.
There you go.
That's a good strategy. I definitely finished last then. Yeah.
Yep. There you go. Congrats, Jamie. So the run starts through January Sunday. As we talked a little bit earlier, that Monday night atmosphere was electric. Paycor was rocking. Let's do it again Sunday night. Let's bring the energy. Start the playoffs off on the right foot. As Witt said, let's get the running game going early. Open it up for number nine, and we'll advance and move on. You know, we're hot right now. What is it? 8 in a row, 7 in a row, whatever it is after the cancellation. And excited for another deep run in the playoffs. And again, let's bring the energy to Paycor Sunday night. Jamie?
Go to Tony.
Yeah, I'll take it. So let's make sure we tame these rat birds. I think we come out with a win. It's going to be a good fight. Our tailgate, let's not forget our charity that we've been doing. You guys have rocked it already this year with $113,000. We're still sticking with our first responders. That charity is pretty special. You know, it's take care of those that take care of us. That's kind of the theme for this. And I hope to see you guys out there and who day.
Tom?
Like I said, protect Joe Burrow, win the turnover battle, guard Mark Andrews, and stay healthy. For us as fans, that place has got to be the loudest it has ever been. It has to make last year's game against the Raiders seemed like a library. So, I mean, you know, the fans, as fans, we have got to bring it for 60 minutes to help these guys out. But I think it's going to be a tough one, but I think it's going to be another victory. And we'll live to fight another day. And in honor of Roger Goodell, I'm going to flip it up to our buddy up north.
Oh. Hey, Listen, guys, this is why I went to Tony. We, Tom and I spend, you spent 7 hours on that touchdown video for Witt. We spend a week coming up with these. I hope you guys appreciate this. And this is the first time.
Last night for a half hour.
1 minute
hold on,
ago.
We're going, hold on. We're going big screen so we can see the moose's ass again.
Okay, this is, I will say, this is also, take it off. I got my wine teeth. Take it off. Okay.
Wine teeth.
I got wine teeth. I've just had wine the whole time.
Hey, Jamie, can you show us how much wine's left in the bottle?
Shit, here we go.
There. In his defense, it has been a 94-minute show.
Listen, this is, I don't know if how inflation is down there for you guys, but he literally flipped me a quarter, and it came up, and it's worth 30 cents, or 13 cents. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Oh gosh.
I still have to do my time. No, let's go out Sunday. I think we're going to win this game. I'm not scared of Lamar Jackson. I'm not scared of Justin Herbert. I'm not scared of Patrick Mahomes. Bengals going to the Super Bowl. And that means we're going to be on there for the next few weeks, guys. We're going to keep this show going all the way to the end. And I'm going to be partying with you guys in Arizona for the Super Bowl.
Am I up? I can't remember where
you're up.
Guys, I just want to say thanks for hanging on. And Witt was awesome. It was worth the wait. I appreciate everybody viewing in, tuning in. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, whether I don't care if you come to a tailgate or not, everybody that's in that stadium, as loud as it was Monday night for that Bills game, which is the loudest stadium I've ever been in, 29 different NFL cities, Cincinnati was the loudest stadium that Monday night I've ever been in. We need that energy. We need that energy to help our guys on the field. So whatever we got to do, I think the Bengals are going to pull this damn thing out. But, guys, I'm going to tell you what, this is going to be tough. But whatever we can do in the fans to help them, let's bring it. Let's bring that energy. Love you guys. Thank you guys so much. And we'll see you at the tailgate. And we'll see you Sunday, guys. Good day. Thanks for tuning in.
Good day.
Good day.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.